This is the SF Signal Podcast. I am your host. My name is Patrick Hester, and I'm an author, a blogger, and a Hugo Award winner. And we are back after a longer than planned hiatus that resulted because I caught the plague. I'm not saying it was touch and go there for a while, but I will admit that when your family starts wearing those masks from the Dark Ages, you know, with the long noses, you start to get a little worried. During my downtime, I did have some communications with our bagel overlord, and I'm happy to announce that he was really, really concerned that we weren't putting out episodes of the podcast. Thanks, John. By the way, I am feeling better. Thanks for asking. Interesting little point. If everyone who downloaded this podcast each week nominated and voted for the Hugo process, because the Hugo nomination period is open right now, and if everybody who downloads this actually nominated and voted, it would be an incredible surge and would probably break some of the voting records, is what I'm thinking. If you would like to know more about the Hugos and how the voting works, visit www.thehugoawards.org. And you don't actually have to attend the Hugos or Worldcon to make nominations or vote. You can purchase a supporting membership at loncon3.org/memberships. If you did attend Worldcon in San Antonio, you are already eligible to nominate people and works for the Hugo Awards and the John W. Campbell Awards, if I'm not mistaken. I think you can do both. Anyway, now that's out there, and there's tons of people who are contributors to SF Signal, like the folks who are on this podcast, who are eligible for their various works all around the web. And I encourage you to go out, find their websites, look at all the stuff that they have put out there, that like fan writer and all that kind of good stuff. It's all out there, so go look for that. Now, on to our topic, winter. Winter isn't coming. Winter is here. And again, some of the folks on this podcast can attest to that. First described in 1853, the term polar vortex has recently been noticed by the news media, who thinks it's a completely new word that they've never heard of before. And like gravitas before it, it's become the new buzzword of the day. Everything is being blamed on the polar vortex, from Chris Christie's obsession with Krispy Kremes all the way to why people still pay attention to the Kardashians. It's all the fault of the polar vortex. So our topic, name up to three science fiction and or fantasy books set in a winter world that you think people should read and why they should read them. That's our topic. Now, let's introduce some people here. I'm going to go ladies first and say hello to Kristen.
Hi.
Hi, Kristen. Tell people who you are and what you do.
Well, I do write for SF Signal when mm-hmm. John lets me, and I have my own book blog, My Bookish Ways, where it's obvious that I don't have much of a life because I do a lot on that too.
Blogging is, how would you describe blogging? Is it an obsession?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, because you get like that, you know, I go in cycles. I have times where I'm just, I don't want to look at my computer for days, and then I get really excited about it. And yeah. it kind of is, yeah.
It can be, yeah. It can be a little bit of obsessive.
It can be.
But you know what? If it weren't for blogs, our next panelist wouldn't know what to do with his free time because he has to comment on all the blogs. And I have actually, I thought about going to the business meeting at Worldcon in San Antonio to suggest a new category for best or most comments on blogs, like a fan comment kind of award. But for some reason, they have that meeting in the morning. So that just wasn't going to happen. But anyway, hi, Paul.
Hello, Paul Weimer here. I am a contributor to SF Signal, the Functional Nerds. I'm a co-host on Skippy and Fanny. I'm occasionally on SSF Audio, and I comment on nearly every genre blog known to the genre sphere. Hello, everyone.
You know, it's
also
funny.
Also on Twitter.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever someone posts a link to their blog on Twitter, they immediately, whoever's typing, stop typing. They immediately go, and they can actually load the stats on the WordPress blog. You can sit there and you can just reload them and reload them. They sit there and they wait to see if Paul is going to come and comment. And if I've heard that there are like two seasons where people are the most depressed. It's Valentine's Day and Christmas. But the other big cause of depression is if Paul Weimer doesn't comment on your most recent blog post.
Well, I hate to be a downer. I just have to redouble my efforts then to reduce depression in the genre sphere.
Well, and you know what? To be honest and to be fair, Paul, Fred doesn't make it easy because he's been posting a lot lately on his blog, and I know that distracts you from other people's blogs. So.
Yeah, he puts lots of good links on Bernal Alpha. So yeah, that does stretch me even further than I normally am.
Yeah, and he was trying to explain to me where the name for his new blog comes from, and I don't get why he would name his blog after a fancy wine cork remover. I mean, that's like the pictures he was sending me. It looked like a potato peeler, or some sort of wine cork thingy. I don't know. It was very strange. Bernal Alpha, I guess. I don't know. Nothing?
No comment? No comments.
Next up, let's say hello to Sarah.
Hello. I am Sarah. I run Bookworm Blues, and I talk on Twitter a lot.
And Facebook.
And I do Special Needs and Strange Worlds on SF Signal.
Mm-hmm. And those are great, and people are loving them.
I hope so.
And we appreciate that. And then you are, how many books did you end up reading in 2013? What was the final count?
178.
Paul?
72. Plus some audiobooks.
Slacker.
Yeah, I know.
Slacker. Kristen, how many books?
That was about 120.
Wow. Ladies representing.
Sarah just blew me out of my chair, man.
Damn. Yeah,
I have a problem.
I don't know. I do too. It's okay.
And how many of those books actually got reviewed on your site, Sarah?
Oh, God. Probably about 3/4.
Okay.
There's a lot that have fallen between the cracks, and I'm trying to catch up, but it's hard because I read more than I have time to review.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because Paul wrote 3 book reviews while you were talking about that. So, so while you might be reading more books, he is definitely writing more reviews.
Yeah. So I need to work on that. I kind of fail, but.
And last but certainly not least, we have AJ Aaron Sykes. How's it going?
Good. Good. How you doing?
Good.
I'm also a contributor to SF Signal. Do some reviews for them. I've got another one coming your way soon. And I'm a writer and freelance editor. You can find me online at my website and on Twitter. And if I can do a quick plug here,
Absolutely. My
serial urban fantasy, a noir urban fantasy, The Gods of Chicago, is out now. The Gods of Chicago, yes. And it's set in a winter wonder, universe. So there.
Nice.
it fits the nice topic.
Now, having been born in Chicago, I could tell you that the Gods of Chicago include Abraham Lincoln, Mayor Daley.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anybody who can get dead people to vote for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely got some supernatural qualities.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Alrighty, so I'm going to get us started. I'm going to throw a book out there. And I know that Paul is already freaking out, like, holy crap, Patrick's going to actually throw out a book.
At first, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to throw one out to get you started.
Okay.
Jim Butcher's Cold Days.
I knew you. I kind of figured you were going to pick one of two possible books, and this was the one that I guess you picked.
Yes, it's because a good portion of that book takes place in Mab's Winter Court.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't get more winter than that. Winter Fae. Right?
Mob is awesome.
You say mob? I said Mab. You probably also say oyster or erster.
I always pronounce it mob. Dialect.
Is it Mab?
I've always said Mab.
I could be entirely, I'd be entirely wrong. I've never met Jim to ask what it should be.
Well, it's not. I mean, Mab is like a character from mythology. It's not like he created her.
Canon, so.
Yeah, he didn't create her. He just had fun. He just had fun playing in her head.
But his version of her might have a different pronunciation in the name that's canonical to the.
That's way too meta. Justin that Bird. Is way too meta. Come on now. I don't know that I believe that. All right. So let's see here. Let's go. Let's start with Sarah. Sarah, why don't you give us your three books?
Okay. All right. So I have quite a list. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I was really worried that everyone would pick like the same three books. So I made a list, and I'm really glad I go first. So all the rest of you guys are screwed and I don't have to worry about it. So
yeah, I'm kind of worried, Sarah, because I only have three. Be nice to me.
I tried to think of more obscure ones, and I'm kind of cheating because they don't all take place completely in winter, but some of them do.
Okay.
So the first one I chose was Ancillary Justice by Aaron Leckie, because much of Breck, I guess the name is, much of it takes place with Breck traveling on this icy kind of, I don't know, planet where she's all alone. It's frigid cold, horrible conditions. There's a lot of the book takes place on other worlds which aren't cold, but a big chunk of it takes place there, and so I'm counting that as a winter wonderland because I can. And it's just a phenomenal book that everyone needs to read because Anne Leckie knows how to write.
And just to throw it out there, we just had Anne over on the Functional Nerds.
Oh, well, that's good then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a hell of a writer.
Well, and I embarrassed her by telling her that at least three, if not four of you who were on the podcast talking about your favorite books of 2013 picked Ancillary Justice.
That's right.
It's a very worthy book. Another one that I chose was Ice Forged by Gail Z. Martin. That came out last year, I believe, from Orbit. And the reason I chose it is because a good chunk of that book plays on like this prison colony that's in some sort of Siberia-esque sort of world where they just ship all the prisoners off and let them go nuts. You either survive or you don't. And I liked the world building. I thought it was a great book. The winter kind of Siberia prison colony thing worked really well. It's pretty unique. And I guess I'll stop it too, so the rest of you guys can have fun.
So who was the author on Ice Forged?
Gail Z. Martin.
Oh, okay, Gail. Yeah, okay, Gail Z. Martin. I think I got that one. I think someone sent that to me.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely worth reading. A lot of fun. I think the series should be really interesting.
Okay, very cool. Let's go to AJ, Aaron.
Yeah, I got two. I should say, I am so out of my league with you guys. 176 books? My God.
You can't think about it.
I got maybe 20 last year.
Yeah,
maybe.
You can't think about it. You cannot think about it. It'll drive you up a wall.
Oh, yeah. No, it's driving me into little, twitching fits of inadequacy. But this year I'm starting out good. I've already got four books under my belt, so... Anyway, two of them, actually, one that I read last year, one that I just finished. The one last year, Patrick, how's your singing voice? It's an Angry Robot title.
Angry Robot.
Thank you. Dead of Winter by Lee Collins.
Nice. Good one.
Read it last year. It's a kind of a Weird West story. It's got tangentially steampunk qualities in that regard. Monster hunters in a winter town, Colorado. And, small town sheriff.
And a twist.
And a twist, yes, quite a twist. Winter with a twist.
A really good one, too.
I did enjoy that part of it. You can look for my reviews online if you want to see, my full thoughts on the book. I had misgivings here and there, but I think as far as a Weird West story goes, if you're not steeped in Weird West writing, this would be a great way to get into it. Lots of good tropes employed, and some pretty clever writing too. I enjoyed a lot of what it was, except for one kind of lingering. I really wish you hadn't done that.
Okay,
but and that's my editor head getting into it. It's like, wow, if I'd been the editor for this novel, it would be really different. But that's my bias. The other book is a new novella just out by my pal Colin F. Barnes called Dead Fives Pass. It's coming out as one of Dark Fuse's hardcover novellas that they're doing. But it's a really great read in the Lovecraftian tradition. It's got mythos, and it's got probably one of Colin's greatest strengths, really, is characters that you can't help but follow and pay attention to and want to be with and see survive. Sadly, they all don't, but, you know, that's not a spoiler. It's a book about the old ones. So it's a really great and very cleverly written story, and incorporates, I think, the best of Lovecraft, which is the world-building aspect, and not the dry, long-winded, long in the tooth, oh my God, when am I going to get to the story part of this story kind of stuff. Colin doesn't do any of that. He just takes you right through it.
Very cool.
So, those are my two.
All right, did you have a third one, or you want to hold off and see what other people do?
Well, I was going to suggest, in comparison, At the Mountains of Madness by Lovecraft, but I have not read it all the way through because I simply couldn't. So I wouldn't want to recommend that to anybody.
Well, you know what? Go get the graphic novel. The graphic novel was done pretty well. I liked
really?
It. Yeah.
Okay, well then, yeah, let's call that my third then. It's
yeah.
a book that I hope to read then. It's yeah.
If you go to Kirkus and you look at my reviews, I actually did a review of the graphic novel for that, and I thought it was done really well.
Oh, good. Very good.
So
sure.
So I was going like girl, boy. So I'm going to make Paul wait until everybody has picked everything on his list, and we're going to go to Kristen.
I don't know if mine are going to be on anybody's list because, excuse me, I kind of went old school a little.
That's fine. You know what? John DiNardo prefers old school.
Okay. Well, I'm a huge Kim Wilkins fan, and Giants of the Frost is one of my favorite books ever. And ever and ever.
Why?
Because it's about frost giants.
Oh, but here's the thing. So I remember frost giants from the World of Warcraft, and those suckers are hard to bring down.
It has a romance in it, but it's not too much of a girly romance. It's about a scientist that's stationed at this remote weather station in Norway.
I'm already freaked out. You never know what's going to happen.
I know. And then stuff, bizarre things start happening. And then Odin shows up. And
well, now hold on. Now you got to say that like the guys on the 13th Warrior. You got to say, Odin.
I don't know if I can. I'll start coughing. I've been sick.
It's okay.
No, it's really good. I don't know if any of y'all have read anything of Kim Wilkins. Have you?
I have not, no.
You have not? I don't know if she's put anything out in a long time, but she's very good, and that's one of my favorites. And then there's way old school, Dark Fall by Dean Koontz.
Ooh, okay.
That's
the first Dean Koontz book I ever read. I love that book.
It is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Voodoo and these creepy little creatures.
Oh, God, yeah.
A snowstorm. That is one of my favorite. That's. I think I read that one two or three times. I don't reread very much, but that's one of the ones I read. And then this one's kind of a challenging one, but A Winter's Tale by Mark Halperin. Which I read a long time ago and I really liked, but it's kind of weird. It's okay. Sort of like a Everything But the Kitchen Sink book. And then the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of wintry elements in it. And they're actually making it into a movie, which kind of shocks me because I don't know. It was sort of like Cloud Atlas. I didn't know how they were gonna do that in a movie.
Okay.
And sure enough, Cloud Atlas was all over the place, and I don't know how they're going to do this because there's just so much. There's so much going on. But those are my three.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's all I got.
It's okay. It's okay.
I got sick and John emailed me. He's like, hey, you doing this? I'm like, yes, I'm there. Give me a second.
So now I'm wondering, should I go ahead and let Paul do one, or should I throw another book out there? So I think I'm going to throw a book out there just to see if I can knock the last book on Paul's list off the list. So I'm going to go with J.V. Jones, A Cavern of Black Ice.
It was on my list. Bastard.
Yes.
But yes. I still can get three. Why don't you tell us why everyone should read A Cavern of Black Ice and its sequels, Patrick?
Well, I number one, I love Jamie Jones, and it's the J stands for Julie, and her Master and Fool series I thought was just absolutely wonderful. And so I really, really wanted to get into the second series. But I admit that the opening chapters of A Cavern of Black Ice freaked me out a little bit. I'm not comfortable with, like, rape in books. And there's one that happens kind of sort of off camera. But it still disturbed me deeply. But I like the way she writes. She does epics, but they are, you know, she's got a beginning and end, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's what she did with that series and with the Master and Fool series before. You know, you definitely had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I just love the way she writes, even when it disturbed me.
She can unfortunately be Martin Eskin in the time it takes for her to get out new books, though.
That is true, yes. That is absolutely true. Okay, so Paul.
Okay, well, you're not that one of the anchors I was going to do, but I got backups. Don't you worry. Okay, so let's start off with Kate Elliott. Kate Elliott's Spirit Walker series, mm-hmm. which starts with Cold Magic and goes through Gold Fire and Cold Steel.
I had a feeling that would be on your list, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
It was an inkling.
Now I loved Kate Elliott's Crown of Stars. Yeah. That was a good series. I like that one.
That was very, well, now, although it came out about the start at the same time, Martin-esque.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Spirit Walker series is set on an alternate Earth, which is much more glaciated. And you also have mages, which can control the power of cold. And although the second book mostly takes us to a more tropical land, especially in the first and third novels, we wind up visiting glaciers and visiting very cold locations. It is, and the map, I love the maps in these books, to show just how much ice there is on this glaciated Earth, and it's wonderfully done, and it's wonderful writing, and it's a first person narration with a strong female character and whose cousin / best friend is another strong female character, and there's not enough of that in fantasy, and Kate makes it work, and more people should read her books.
Now, so and you're a map guy. You like maps.
Oh yeah, I'm a map guy, so.
You make your own.
I make my own. I've talked with Kate about how she makes her maps and what she did, and
you use the website software that you've linked me to before.
I use a Campaign Cartographer, which right. I bought and downloaded. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which does not work on a Mac, so therefore it's useless.
I'm sorry, Patrick.
Utterly, completely useless.
At least Scrivener bridges the divide between us.
Mm-hmm.
But moving along, I was going to mention J.V. Jones, but we'll dance over to an epic fantasy series maybe none of you have ever heard of. We'll give it a shot. Have any of you ever heard of the Winter of the World series by Michael Scott Rohan?
No.
No.
It was mostly written in the 1980s. It's set in the interglacial period about 10,000 years ago in what is now the flooded coast off of Oregon, and involves magic users who forge magical weapons and weapons of power fighting against some malevolent, intelligent presence known as the Ice, which wants to sweep over the world and cover it in permanent glaciation.
Now, I think I saw something about that on the History Channel on America Unearthed. They were digging up some of those relics or something.
It is funny. A few years ago, when Brian was still blogging, he mentioned that it almost seems like his books are coming into reality. They've been finding artifacts off of the Oregon coast, where his books are set. But it's magic users and people fighting against a malevolent ice in a colder world, and that strikes very much like winter to me.
Now, Paul, do you think it's possible, as ancient alien theorists believe, that those stories are actually just racial memory?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I'm not big on the ancient aliens guy. He's an idiot. So my okay, that was a very mild way of describing it. Sorry, I'm being polite.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
So my third is, again, maybe not an expected choice. It is one of the Dream Park novels by Larry Niven and Stephen Barnes, and that would be the Barsoom Project. That's the second Dream Park novel. The Dream Park novels in the 80s were the story of virtual reality games that people would go in and compete against each other. And in the second one, the scenario in the Dream Park that they're competing in is a thimble winter. So, and they wind up going to Alaska, of all places, to try to stop this eternal winter from destroying the Earth in this virtual reality simulation. It's lots of fun. And
well, I'll quit eyeing that up every time I go to the used bookstore now and actually buy it. Seriously, I look at it every single time. I stop and look at it and I go, nah. But now that you've recommended it, I'll get it.
Well, you better hurry because this goes live on Monday.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you might want to pick it up before this goes live and someone else goes in there and picks it up.
I know. I'll go in there and all of them be gone. No, they're double stocking nowadays, so.
Yep. Yep, the first novel is set in a virtual reality on a tropical island, but the second one is set in this fumble winter, and it's a lot of fun. And there's also a subplot involving Mars and a space elevator.
Very cool. So, Sarah, did you want to throw out a third one?
Oh, no, I'm let me see. Maybe. Yeah, okay. I'll just throw this out because nobody's mentioned it and it's kind of criminal. You have to mention A Song of Ice and Fire from George R. R. Martin because the whole wall and above it is winter at its mm-hmm. best. Mm-hmm. And that's, in my opinion, where most of the good plot is currently located. That isn't getting enough focus. But, but, little pirates aside, that has to be mentioned. There's some epic winter in A Song of Ice and Fire.
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny because I was just talking. I've got a new assistant at work, a marketing assistant, and who has never read the books but watched one of the seasons on HBO. And I said, oh, you should go watch the book. Or you should go read the books before you watch the rest of the series. And I said, you've got time because they've almost caught up. So they're going to run out of material very, very soon.
Yep.
They might have to start making stuff up.
Yeah. Which always works really well in Hollywood. So I already threw out two and ruined a couple of possible picks for Paul. I did the J.B. Jones and Jim Butcher's. I'm going to also throw out some other ones that people haven't been mentioning that I'm kind of surprised. Nearly all of the Harry Potter books are set in winter.
Yeah, right? You're right. Christmas does...
It plays a big part in all of them. I think probably Chamber of Secrets had a lot of winter because I think that's the first time they go to the town or something and have butterbeer and all that good stuff. Oh, and yeah. Now all the Harry Potter fans are going to be like, no, that's not the first time. And I know the later books, they spend a lot of time in that little village with all the snow on it. So the Harry Potter books. I'll also throw out there a classic, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be low-hanging fruit someone was going to grab, so. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I grabbed it. I grabbed it hard.
But, it's been a long time since I've read that one.
If you look out there, what about The Name of the Wind?
Yeah. Dumb. Right in front of us.
One that I thought of that has a lot of cold in it is Tad Williams' Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn series.
Oh, yes. That's the one that made me yell at the book. Because I was so angry with the choices that the characters were making. I wanted to slap them. I wanted to slap the boy and the girl, both of them. I was like, no, what are you doing? Why are you going this way? Why are you going? No, this is not the way it's supposed to work out. How dare you? Yeah, it wasn't like a Joey put the book in the fridge moment, but it was definitely I was yelling and screaming at the book, which, as it turns out, not a really smart thing to do at a Starbucks.
They look at you, don't they?
Point safety tip.
also, Air of Night. Helen Lowe.
Helen Lowe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Helen, for not mentioning a book.
I know. You're just doing terrible. And then I'll throw out a graphic novel, too, 30 Days of Night, which is set in Alaska in the winter.
God. Have you read the novelization? Yeah.
Well, I've seen the graphic novel.
The novels by Steve Niles.
No, I haven't seen those.
Are amazing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. Cool. Mm.
Just about anything Steve Niles does is amazing. But the 30 Days of Night are great. So good. That's a good one.
So
I got two. If I can chuck two more in.
Sure.
I would be remiss if I didn't do this. I live in Davis, and so does he. Ken Stanley Robinson. 40 Signs of Rain, the Arctic Ice Melt story.
Very cool. Okay.
That followed up by, was it 50 Degrees Below and then 60? I don't remember the title of the 60 one, but he does the 40, 50, 60. It's a trilogy there about global climate change. And it starts at least in a winter scenario.
Well, if you're gonna go there, I'm gonna throw out Tobias Bakel.
Okay.
Because Paul, what's the name of the book that Tobias had crowdfunded? That's set in the Arctic and all that good stuff.
Wait, he didn't crowdfund that one. He crowdfunded one of his.
I thought he crowdfunded the sequel to that.
No.
Arctic Rising.
No. Yeah, Arctic Rising. Yeah, that came out straight from Tor.
Oh, okay.
And that's another book that's on my list that I didn't mention yet.
Okay.
What's that one?
Arctic Rising.
By Tobias Bakel. Yeah, Tobias Bakel, who had a fall recently, I think, and may have broken his coccyx. So Kim Stanley Robinson also lives in Davis?
Yeah.
How long has he lived there, do you know?
Decades.
So he possibly voted for the bond that paid for the tunnel for the frogs to go under the highway.
Doubtful.
Okay.
Possibly. Yes, possibly. But I'm going to say doubtful. Just, you know.
So we have some extra time. So I would like to ask you guys what you're watching or reading right now. Like what's on your nightstand right now. Go, Paul.
Okay. I am reading Mike Cole's Breach Zone, the third in his Shadow App series.
Very cool. And how's that going?
It's going very well. He's clearly growing and evolving as a writer. He's trying new things in this third volume. I'm loving it. And it's set in New York City. There was even a brief mention of my hometown, Staten Island. So
nice.
Go that.
Very cool. Aaron, what about you?
I'll be reviewing it for SF Signal pretty quick here. It's Sad Robot Stories by Mason Johnson. Absolutely outstanding story. You remember last time I was on, I talked up City of Devils by Justin Robinson. Mm-hmm. Sad Robot Stories is very similar. It's a noir type story. Mason Johnson, the author, quotes Dashiell Hammett as an influence. It's got a really strong noir feel to it, very punchy. Written about a robot in a world where robots have dominated society, and it's just brilliant. I mean, the characterization is absolutely stunning. You can't help but feel sympathetic to this machine that you're reading about.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving it to death.
Awesome, Kristen. What about you?
Well, I just finished up A Man Came Out of a Door in the Mountain by Adrienne Herron, and I'm really frustrated because I didn't realize I had to hold my review until release date, which is not until the end of February.
Oh, wow.
So I was all excited to post my review because I, like, read it in a day. And
wow. Yeah. You'd be surprised how often that happens.
Yeah. And I was like,
you got to read that fine print.
Yeah, I always check before, you know, I check the little notes before, but, and also I started Thornjack by Catherine Harbour, which is really good.
Very cool.
And I need to read The Undead Pool for John, the new Kim Harrison, because we got some stuff coming up on that, so.
Now, Sarah, I know that you've been reading the new employee handbook at your new job, but what else have you been working on?
all right, so.
Congratulations.
Every year I kind of set a goal for myself to like expose myself to an area of speculative fiction that I typically avoid. And this year I am trying to focus more on young adult books because I typically avoid them like the plague. So in because of that, I've started reading Angel Fall by Susan I don't know. E-E.
The two E's, yeah.
It's good. It's, you know, different.
Is it good?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it more than I thought I would, but I really struggle with young adult books in general. So I'm
kind of like
don't
you because I can't identify it's hard for me to identify anymore at my age. At my old
age. Yeah.
And
I'm just kind of.
That's okay.
And also, I just got The Shining Girls in the mail today. And
oh, it's
I
so good, Sarah.
I started it as soon as I got it. It's really good. And
it's
I started.
So good.
I'm excited. I was so excited when I saw it in the mail.
Very cool. Awesome.
And I'm reading He Drank and Saw the Spider by Alex Bledsoe and The Doomsday Book by Connie Willis.
See, this is.
So
this
there
is,
you go.
So for all of you who were like, how does Sarah. So she just listed like five books that she's reading. Right now, that's how you get to 178 books by the end of the year, Paul.
I do the same thing. I dip in and out of like three or four books at a time.
I'm sorry. I am a monogamist with my books.
I used to be
monogamist.
I used to be until I started reviewing, and then I can't.
I can't either. I have a book going for.
I have book 80. Book 80.
Exactly.
Well,
and then they show up in the mail, and I'll put down the seven I have and pick up three more. And
well, and yeah. Sarah, I applaud your mindset of exposing yourself to new things each year. You know, every year I decide that I am going to expose myself to new things, but I never can get the coat off before they tackle me. So.
You know, last year it was urban fantasy, and at the start of the year it was much the same as young adult this year, and it just, I didn't like it that much, but at the end of the year, now I'm at a point where I kind of respect her. Yeah. It's a good project. I think everyone should try and it's fine. I'm done.
Okay. And then as far as, I'm just curious if anybody is watching it. I know everybody is seated in front of the TV every Tuesday night watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, I mean, who wouldn't be sitting there watching that fantastic show? But I'm curious if there's anything else out there that's caught your eye genre-wise that you might be watching, Paul.
I just watch DVDs and stuff sometimes weeks after the fact, so I'm not good up on the most recent stuff. I mean, I've been doing a Babylon 5 rewatch for Skiffy and Fanti, so.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you seen Mr. Garibaldi?
That's we're not up to that season yet. We're only in season one.
Oh. This
but
must
there is
be.
A hole in my mind.
So if you're watching season one of Babylon 5, this must be for torture cinema.
No. No, it's not. I mean, it's me, Mike Underwood. Sean's never seen the series before, but Mike Underwood and I have seen it all before, so we kind of like a balance of...
And so you decided that you don't like Sean and you want to force him to watch the crappy first season of Babylon 5? You didn't want to just skip to number two and pretend that number one never existed?
That would lead to awkward questions, so we're going to plow through.
Paul?
And, yeah.
If you go to season one, you will die.
Season one is not Zaha Doom. Although it may feel like that in some of the episodes.
I just recently played for somebody my favorite clip of all time of anything from any TV show, which is at the end of the epic battle scene when the things are happening at Babylon 5 and the humans are trying to take it back and the Minbari show up and they're like...
This is Ambassador Delenn of the Minbari. Babylon 5 is under our protection. Withdraw. Be destroyed.
Negative. We have authority here. Do not force us to engage your ship.
Why not? Only one human captain has ever survived battle with the Minbari fleet. He is behind me. You are in front of me. If you value your lives, be somewhere else.
Dylan being awesome.
So awesome. So awesome. Anyway, Kristen, you watching anything?
No, it's kind of embarrassing. We end up starting series like we started Sleepy Hollow and we recorded it and we're enjoying it and everything. And then we just kind of don't anymore. You know, the only TV show
Where's
we
Lisa?
Watch is any
I
regular.
Need Lisa. Lisa watches stuff with me.
The only thing we watch with any regularity is Cutthroat Kitchen. I'll be honest with you. That's it.
And I don't like it.
I know that's sad. What we'll end up doing is we did this with Supernatural. We'll end up buying everything when it comes out on DVD, and then we just binge watch it.
I'm not really a huge fan of Cutthroat Kitchen.
We have a lot of fun with it. Usually it involves alcohol.
A drinking game.
Yeah. That's like our thing.
I will say Sleepy Hollow is much better than I ever thought it would be.
We really enjoyed it. It's just, but we do this with a lot. Maybe it's having three kids and doing other stuff. And I don't know. It's just, we can't watch anything with any regularity. We end up like watching three episodes and then binge watching it when it's done.
No, I gotcha. Sarah, are you into anything right now? Anything caught your eye?
We are currently catching up on Arrow. We just finished the first season.
Ooh, Arrow's good.
Yeah, it got a lot better after the first, 10 episodes. I thought it was pretty stupid. And by the end of the first season, I'm hooked now, so.
What about you, Aaron?
Not so much. We've watched a bit of Sherlock. And, we don't really do much TV or watching. The occasional DVD.
This is the wrong crowd. I need Lisa.
Yeah, sorry.
Where's Lisa? Lisa watches stuff with me. I bet Lisa watched the new version of Chuck that's on. They're calling it Intelligence, but it's basically Chuck.
That's actually the new. There's a new book out called Phoenix Island, and that is the book that inspired Intelligence.
Well, then whoever wrote the book watched Chuck.
His name is John Dixon.
Yeah, I'm sure. He had.
I have an interview coming up with him. I think on Friday.
Ask him about Chuck.
Yeah,
it's too late.
it's so incredibly similar. It's insane. Yeah. Okay.
There is a show that I just got word of that I'm curious about. I don't know if any of you have watched it. It's on Fox. It's called Almost Human.
Oh yeah,
it's a cop procedural.
It's cyber. It was slow in the beginning. It's gotten better. But it's basically Dr. McCoy from JJ Trek.
Yeah.
Or Aeolus from Lord of the Rings. And he is a human cop. It's set in the future. When things get really bad, they pass some laws or decide that all human cops will now be partnered with androids who are there to protect them and analyze the situation and keep them out of harm's way kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it sets it up very early in the beginning that one of these synthetic cops basically tells him, he's like, we need to go in here and get this human out. And they're like, nope, risk is too dangerous. Can't do it. And I advise you, we have to leave right now. And the synthoid leaves and everything gets blown up and the guy loses his leg. So he no longer trusts them. And they bring him back as a cop and they partner him with a derelict version that was mothballed because too many of them went insane because they tried to give him emotions. Mm-hmm. And he's now partnered with that guy. It's all set in the future. And they've got some, it was kind of rough in the beginning, but it's finding its stride now. So it's definitely worth your time.
My 14-year-old won't shut up about it. So
who?
My 14-year-old daughter loves it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure.
She watches it. So
it's full of very attractive people.
Okay. Well, it's a Fox show, right? It's on Fox.
Yes, but it's not like CW. You know, it's not like Arrow taking a shirt off in every episode. But
good.
Yeah, Arrow's definitely got the six packs. I wanted a six pack, but I ended up with a keg. Almost Human, Almost Human, Sleepy Hollow, both interesting shows. Intelligence, it just feels like such a Chuck ripoff. But they're trying to do it as a drama, which is weird. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going. Justified's back. But that's not genre. But anyway, Justified's back. I love Justified. So, okay. Well, you know what? I think this is good. We've talked about a lot of different things. We've got a great list of books that hopefully people will go out and buy. I'm also encouraging our listeners to please add their own books that are set in winter worlds that you think that people should read. Add them in the comments, because then Paul will go out and buy them. He may not read them right away, but he will definitely buy them because he has a problem.
I do have a problem. I should mention one more book. So John Stevens, Jeff Patterson, and Fred Kish don't come down on me. And that would be the Heliconia trilogy by Brian Aldiss. which is about a future Earth with very long seasons, including a very long winter. So I think that counts as far as our topic goes.
Okay. Well, what about The Left Hand of Darkness?
Yeah, that's it. I see, we could go on and on, but we probably don't want to be up here all night.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're trying not to get in trouble with those three, you got to throw out there The Left Hand of Darkness.
Yeah, the insert obligatory Le Guin plug here.
Alrighty, so let's go with final thoughts. Anything that you want to say or tell our listeners about, Sarah?
No, I'm just sorry that my microphone sucks.
That's okay. and go check out Sarah's website, and check her out on Twitter. Check her out on Facebook. She's always very funny on those platforms. She's always got lots of cool stuff going on there, and it's very entertaining throughout the day. So go check out Sarah. Paul.
The Ice Warriors, the second Doctor episode, lost, now found and restored. Earth in the glimpse of an ice age with Ice Warriors from Mars. What can go wrong? And you can find me at Prince J. Biston on Twitter and on SF Single and everywhere else.
You know, it's kind of funny when I do the video stuff with Anelio, we're recording Functional Nerds, and people start asking me about the stuff that they can see on my desk, and I start playing with everything. John's like, oh, great. We're not going to be able to record for another hour because Patrick's playing now. Kristen, any final thoughts?
No, I just hope everybody that's been hit with this stinking flu crud.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Is either over it or not going to get it or whatever. Because
I think I'm on the tail end. I think it's almost gone. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
And thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. We're always glad to have you on here. How about you, Aaron? Final thoughts?
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. Mm-hmm. And if I could, one final shameless plug for my own book, if I may.
Sure.
Gods of Chicago is available. It's a serial release. So we have 4 episodes out now. Episode 5 comes out the next Monday. It is set in a winter setting. Opening scene is February 14th, 1929, outside the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Very cool.
And it gets a little weirder after that.
All righty. Well, thanks to everybody for coming on. Hopefully this polar vortex thing that has only recently been discovered goes away and doesn't affect the Super Bowl that the Broncos are going to win.
Only because the Steelers aren't playing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Steelers. That's so cute. And hey, did everybody notice that the 2 states that have legalized marijuana are now going to have a quote unquote Super Bowl?
No.
You're right. I didn't notice that till now.
You did that, didn't you? You really did that. Oh wow.
This show has gone to pot.
That is an awesome way to wrap things up.
Your internet arrives on Monday. There.
All right. Win, thanks, sir. Everybody. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks, Patrick.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Wah, wah. Thinking and crap.
And scene.